This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Howland. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, and concerns. We start at 9 a.m. every Saturday morning, so feel free to get online, 860-522 Eastern Time, for those of you out there on the West Coast. Well, now it's daylight saving time.
Right.
But feel free to get online. We'll do our best no matter where you are, 860-522-9842. And we can talk about any of your IT issues you might be having personally. And we also were expecting Wes Bryan to join us. We haven't talked to Wes in a while. He'll be here at 10:05 to talk about AI a little bit.
Yep. He'll be from IT Pro TV telling us what they're doing with it.
Yeah, so we're excited.
And what we can do with it.
Catch up with it. Yeah, I'll tell you what we can do with it. We'll see. We'll see what Wes has to talk about when it comes to AI. So, as usual and customary, we bring you some IT news you can use or cringe about or cry softly in your coffee about.
Cringe is a good word for this one.
Yeah, what do you got, Dennis?
Well, it appears that some iPhone users.
Some. Yes.
Are reporting that photos they've deleted a long time ago, and by a long time ago, I mean 2010.
Yeah, like decades
14
ago.
Years.
Yeah.
Are suddenly reappearing on their phones.
Ta-da!
Boom!
It's a feature.
You thought you deleted it, but did you?
It's a
no.
feature. No! So again, you guys are all the Apple fans out there. I know you talk about their security and their privacy and how great they are and why you're happy to spend more money on the product, but this is so Microsoft-esque. I mean... Are you kidding me? When I delete a file, I can't be sure it's deleted if it's an Apple product? That should scare the pants off you.
Yeah.
Oh, and it might have been a picture of you with your pants off.
Yes.
I mean, these people are thinking they're deleting these photos, and of course, Apple is not deleting them. And they're coming back, and they're saying, what is going on? Why are my photos coming back that are decades old? And you should ask yourself that question. I have no idea why Apple's products are unable to delete them, be permanently deleted if you've told it. They say they give you a 30-day window, which is nice, right? It's
right.
Like a recycle bin. Oh, maybe you didn't mean to delete it. Maybe
right.
You deleted it in error, and you want that file back. But after a decade plus?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Where did this, 30 or 90 days? When did that window disappear if the photo you deleted in 2010 is coming back on you?
Yes. And that's, so again, that's something that should make you a little nervous, right? There are pictures you just don't want. It's not just because your eyes were closed. Right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the fappening was something that all the stars had out there, and they were like, why are my naked nudies out there for everybody? They hacked their iCloud accounts. Well, if your stuff's coming back, it's going to resynchronize to the iCloud, right?
Right.
So now you got to go back and figure out how many of decades-old stuff out there you really want to get off the phone is still there.
Well, that's part of the problem for people.
Right.
Obviously, the phone syncs up to Apple's cloud, but you might have a sync service that's syncing up to something else.
Yeah.
And
now it's there too.
Now you've got to go track that photo down everywhere else that it turns up.
Right. The idea that the delete function doesn't work in Apple devices is what we're talking about now.
Right.
It doesn't work. Is so Microsoft-esque. It's ridiculous. So here we are, and you guys are the Apple devotees. I'm happy to pay more for my product because it's so much better. This is it's not the hardware, man. As the song goes, it's every OS sucks, and this is again what we're dealing with in technology as IT people. It's embarrassing for us in our industry.
Yeah,
it's like having that plug in the airplane blow out every day for us. It really is. the landing gear doesn't work in IT every day. It feels like. And this is just another example. It shouldn't be the case. We shouldn't be discussing in the year 2024, almost halfway through the year 2024, for crying out loud, that Apple doesn't know how to delete a file. But that's what we're discussing.
Yeah.
We'll put the actual story up there, and you can read it for yourself, as many other folks that have this story. This one came from our favorite one across the pond.
Oh, the Register?
Yes.
It should be must read for everybody.
they're so funny about their stuff. So we'll put the link up there for you. You can read it for yourself and weep like we are. So what else is going on there, Dennis?
Oh, we have a little cryptocurrency news.
Oh, the fake money news?
Oh, yeah, the fake money news.
What's going on with that?
It turns out the fake money is even more fake than you thought it was.
That's impossible, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah, okay. One of the predicates for cryptocurrency,
yes,
is that all transactions are encapsulated in a very large and very secure blockchain.
Right, that all the computers know about.
Right, and each transaction listed in it depends on the ones before it.
Yep.
And then it becomes the foundation for everything that follows.
Right.
So that the blockchain itself has a certain amount of integrity.
It's supposed to have the ultimate integrity.
Right. It's supposed to be impervious to any kind of alteration.
Correct. Now, again, we're talking about IT, so you probably can imagine our skepticism, but go ahead, Dennis, with this story.
At any rate, the idea is that it's so impervious that the
to manipulation.
The only way to get a transaction out of it is for somebody that has control of a chunk of it,
right,
gives you another piece of their part in the blockchain.
Right.
You can only get crypto from other human beings that control a portion of the blockchain.
Right.
Well, I don't know if that's true anymore.
It's not.
It turns out that a pair of brothers,
yep,
stole $25 million worth of Ethereum.
Right.
And they did it by directly manipulating the Ethereum blockchain.
Yep. In 12 seconds.
They didn't steal it from somebody.
Nope.
Nobody, let them into an account somewhere, and then they were able to steal their Ethereum.
No hijacking
of
accounts.
Nothing like that happened.
No. Nope.
They directly injected themselves into the blockchain and pulled Ethereum out for themselves.
Right. Which is not supposed to happen, as Dennis talked about just a minute ago.
Yeah. I read this story, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, how is there still a market for crypto?
Well, because people don't know how the cryptocurrency works. They don't understand it.
It's as if you can have, cash in your wallet.
Right.
And now there's a way that people can teleport it right out of your wallet.
Right. Before it even gets into your wallet. It doesn't.
Well, maybe it never even gets to you. But either way, you can think that you've got money.
Right. Fake money.
And without anybody even talking to you, without you doing anything.
Right.
Gone.
Right. $25 million of fake money.
Because all they did was just invade that wallet and take it.
12 seconds.
How is there any value in crypto anymore? Why would people invest in this? The entire integrity of the whole algorithm,
right,
is now in a shambles.
As it should be.
And nobody cares.
A fool and his money.
They don't care.
No, of course they don't care. Again, they were selling those mortgage-backed securities. I mean, this is the same old, same old. Fool and his crypto are soon parted. Or is that that's probably just synonymous. We'll put the link up here for you guys. You can read the story yourself. You even hear, Robert Kiyosaki, whatever his the Rich Dad, Poor Dad guy, who always tells you about gold and silver, but he's a big Bitcoin guy. Even he's getting nervous because now the feds, our own government, wants to come up with their own cryptocurrency. So the moment that happens, it's going to then eliminate the idea of any other cryptocurrency, right?
Because whatever the federal government controls will become like a reserve cryptocurrency.
Right. Which, again, the whole idea of crypto is to be that libertarian currency that nobody can see what you're buying or what you're doing, and you can go ahead and not have the federal government be part of this, which is a lovely libertarian panacea, which I would love to have happen. But the problem is it's killing us when it comes to ransomware, and it needs to stop. And now we just showed you how the blockchain could be manipulated. And this is just one cryptocurrency's blockchain.
Right.
Will it happen to the next? Probably. And then, and I mean, you got a bunch of North Koreans got nothing else to do over there. They're going to work on this too. If they can, instead of stealing your account, if they can just redirect it to the, you manipulating the blockchain, I'm sure they're already working on this themselves.
I would bet any money that they have already doing it.
Or fake money.
No, I would bet real money out of my physical wallet.
Nice.
That the North Koreans have already been using similar methods to steal cryptocurrency already, and nobody is either aware of it or will admit to it.
Well, that's possible. That's possible. So we'll put it out here for you guys to read it and weep. We're sorry. But, you know, it's just this whole thing is silly. It's greater fool theory, as Buffett has said, as even Gates has said. So many people have said it. And humans are such victims of greater fool theory. It's how we do it to ourselves for every bubble that exists and every crash that exists. It's FOMO. It's greater fool theory. We're just a bunch of ding-dongs repeating ourselves over and over again. And it's like, oh, I heard Beanie Babies costs were really valuable. What do you guys – I mean, Carolyn doesn't even know what a Beanie Baby is. right? I mean, but back when we were her age, Beanie Babies were a thing. And people were spending all sorts of real money on them and collecting them in hopes of future returns.
I would like to go on record and say I do know what a Beanie Baby is.
But do you think it has any value?
No, because by the time I showed up, everyone told me they didn't.
Right.
But I did own a few, so.
Oh, right. Very nice.
Gotta let the people know. I'm young. All right. I'm not that young.
But she did not put herself through college on Beanie Baby proceeds. So as far as I'm concerned, that's what cryptocurrency
and
is.
And it's a lot like the tulips in Holland back in the Renaissance.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it goes back hundreds of years and people are just too stupid not to learn the lesson.
And just so you know, both Dennis and I realize that the piece of green paper in our wallet doesn't have any value either. We understand
it's
that.
Fiat currency.
Yes, we totally understand that. But this crypto thing, the reason I'm so on it is killing our business. We're working so hard to fight off ransomware because you guys pay them in crypto. Right. If it didn't exist, the ransomware industry wouldn't exist, and we could focus on improving people's processes rather than protecting them from Microsoft's ability to be ransomed. And that's what we're spending a lot of our time on. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. All right. We are back. And you guys are here this morning at 9. We do appreciate that very much. So we have a couple lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. But let's get to your calls. We're going to go to David first in Seymour. What's happening, David?
Doing well.
Good.
I had a situation where a company sent me a proposal to do some work on my home by email, and somebody in my address book the next day got that same proposal.
Okay.
So it's like, okay, what happened? Sounds like somebody got into my email.
Well, it was a company that you were doing business with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Company I was doing business with sent me the proposal.
Right.
And then the next day it went to someone who was in my address book.
Could you have inadvertent? So partial with IT people, we always think user error first. No offense. Okay, please don't take any offense. It's just we're trained. Well, it's not even trained. We're just experienced to do it. So we're going to think user error first, because having that proposal go to someone in your address book, if it's a valid company, there's no way they're doing anything.
Right.
And just users do things like they start doing multiple things, don't even know where they are, and then they inadvertently forward something off. That could have occurred where you typed an email address in there, it pre-filled with your friend's name, and you forwarded the proposal by accident. That's where I would start. Nobody is going to hack you in that way. There's no benefit to that hacker that I can even imagine by sending a proposal to a friend of yours, even just to mess with you.
Yeah, that's the part that I couldn't make sense of.
Right.
I thought it might be a test thing to see whether they could do it or something. But okay, so I don't recall anything where I could have done that. But
Well, here's what I would do. Yeah, I would go through your sent folder and take a look at whether or not there is an email that you sent to your friend containing this proposal.
Yeah, good question. You don't want to do that?
I mean, that's, you know, see if it actually came out of your mailbox first.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. And I think I had already checked that, and it had not.
Oh.
And then, she already deleted it, so I, you know, whether it came from that company or from me, I don't know.
Yeah, well, that would be the next thing to look at, would be the message that she received.
Right.
And then take a look and see where it came from and how and when. And I'm also thinking of things like timestamps, too.
Yeah. If it's not in your sent folder, then it didn't come from you.
Right.
Yeah, well, she already deleted it, so I have no way of doing that. She figured out it was something bogus, so...
I don't know if she could recover it. But at any rate, if it didn't come out of your mailbox...
She just received similar mail for you.
It does sound weird. I'm going to give this to you. I mean, it really is kind of spooky, okay? And I would be asking a lot of questions.
Right.
So you're doing the right thing.
Of the contractor.
Well, I'd be asking a lot of questions of everything.
Yeah.
All around, I'd be wondering, how did this get to
So here's what you can do. Change your email password and add two-factor authentication. It's the least you can do, David, this morning.
Okay.
All right. That way you can better secure your system, just in case.
Yep.
All right. I can do that.
All right. Good.
Now, I thought of going to Proton Mail, and I know they have a free and a pay version.
Yep.
What are the real advantages to going to the pay version?
Can we talk about that after the news break?
Absolutely.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll talk about that. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. This is Computer Talk with Tab on WTIC. Back. Mm-hmm. They're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Couple lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Let's go right to back to David's question here about Proton email. Are you still there, David?
I sure am. I was going to go to the gymnastics in Hartford, but figured I'd wait till the call's over.
Very cool. That's awesome. Hope you have fun down there. So when it comes to Proton email, you have the free option. Right, which is a gig of email storage and one user and one email address for free. And then you've got the other option, which is $3.99 a month, which gets you 15 gigs of storage, one user, 10 email addresses, support for a custom email domain.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. And then unlimited folders and filters and what have you. So the reason I like that custom domain is that instead of being at SBC Global or at Proton or at Gmail or at you can be at whatever David wants to be. You could be at yourlastname.com. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Yes, it would.
And that way as long as you pay for the domain name, so you're gonna have to register a domain name with a GoDaddy or any of the other registrars out there. And then you configure your email system with that domain name. And now you're at you.
Right.
Wouldn't that be great? And you're less, I would contend you're less apt to be spammed or tricked, because the bad guys are going to go after the at Hotmails, the at Gmails, the at AOLs, the at all the big easy ones, right? They're not going to be going at whatever your last name is .com.
It's called security through obscurity.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody, the domain isn't going to be well known and it won't be a target.
And then the other benefit is that all the Proton mail is encrypted and they don't have the keys. So not that you're doing anything wrong, but nobody can ask to look at your email through Proton without telling
you.
They can ask.
They can be told, no, you can't get it.
Right. So anybody who wants to read your email has to go to you. They have to use the old-fashioned method of actually knocking on your door with a warrant and say, I would like to look at your emails, David. Please give us access to those emails. Whereas now, again, not that you're doing anything wrong and not that I am not a huge supporter of the FBI and the police and what they're doing. Trust me, we've had them on our program. What I don't like is having them ask for this type of information in a sweeping way where everybody's email gets looked at because they go and send a subpoena over to at whatever. I want to find out who is doing what at whatever.com, and that's what they're doing, and that's not cool.
Right.
Now, I see they have another option for like $10 a month where you get where it says VPN.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's only for one device, huh?
No. It's not. I'm not. You can use the VPN on multiple devices. I do it myself. So you would get some benefit there too by actually having a professional VPN running to protect your usage. If you're in a public, especially if you're in a public place and you want to be more secure and you have to access something sensitive, you could turn on the VPN and be more secure using the Proton VPN.
All right, sounds good. I'm just going to make some money decisions.
Yeah, but minimally it's $50 a year for the one option there. But yeah, take a look at it, David. And we talked more about your issue. We have further creeped out about your issue with that email. We do think maybe somebody is testing something.
That's the only thing that makes sense, assuming that there's a crook involved, is that they did this as a test.
Right, to see if you'd notice. So do those changes. Change your password, turn on 2FA. So that they can't access your system again.
Okay. Thanks for the help, guys.
All right, David, good luck.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, I really do like being at something other than Cox or Comcast or Gmail or whatever it is. I'd rather be at me. Is that too much to ask? I don't think so. And you should pay for it. I mean, we've gotten so used to everything being free when it comes. Basically, this is how the IT world works. It's kind of like how drugs work, right? The pusher will give you a free sample, right? Hey, have a puff of this. It's free. And they'll get you addicted, and then you're going to be connected to their ecosphere. That's the whole point of how Microsoft even got the operating systems on all the PCs in the first place. They practically gave them away. OS 2 was a much better operating system. Hmm. IBM had a great product there, but they charged for it.
Oh, yeah, they didn't. They charged up the wazoo for it.
They really did. And Microsoft said, we'll give it away practically. So that's the kind of same idea here. So your email has been free for too long and it needs to be more secure because your entire life, sadly, is connected to your email. And if the bad guys get access to your email address, they can do a ton of damage to you. So let's not let that happen. Let's go on to Joel in Simsbury next. What's happening, Joel?
Hi, good morning. How are you? First-time caller, enjoy listening to your show.
Oh, thanks for checking in.
Yes. So I've got fairly basic, iPhone computer skills, and I'm one of these guys running around with 2,000 photos on my phone. I have, Google Photos on my phone and on my computer, but I'm now approaching, like, the 15-gigabyte, maximum for free Gmail. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to get these photos off my phone and onto like my C drive on my computer, and I don't really know the steps involved.
Well, you can if everything on the phone now is synced to Google Photos, I would do is go into Google Photos, download to your computer whatever it is that you want, and then remove them from Google Photos.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. I'm not sure I know how to move them from the Google Photos onto my C drive.
Well, we can post an article about how to do it.
Okay, that would be great.
But I'm just giving you the framework for the approach.
Yes.
Yep, and you can connect your phone physically and do it locally. I think you could also do it through the software itself, right? Logging into the cloud and downloading it that way.
Well, that's what I was...
That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
There's multiple ways. So, but you want to get it off the cloud because they're going to start charging you.
Correct, yes. Right, and the Google Photos, the Gmail, it's all rolled into that 15 gigabytes, so I'd like to get those off so I can free up my space, I guess.
Yeah, so we get lots of calls about this. Like Apple users, all these folks are trying to figure out how to avoid, again, being charged for the storage because eventually they're going to start hitting you. So the other aspect, though, of this is once you bring it down to your computer, what are you going to do with them? You now have to protect them. You got to back them up, right?
Yes, I do have one of those. I forget the name of it. I've got one of those commercial things that I pay for backup.
Oh, good.
But I'm just the one good thing I like about I don't know if I when I download them onto the onto the computer on Google Photos, it has them all by the year, very nicely organized. Will that still happen when they move onto my computer?
Well, they'll have a file name, each one of them will, and for the most part, there will be a date and time stamp within that file name.
Right.
And what you can do is you can sort them that way when you take a look at them in Windows or in Mac or whatever.
They won't be as – you're going to have to use a tool, though, different than the tool you're using now to look at your photos that are arranged based on the Google operating system.
Okay.
So there's catalog tools or album tools out there that you could, you know, utilize or just use the timestamps like Dennis mentioned.
Okay. All right. Yeah, if you can post those, that would be helpful. I have to go like step by step.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. I would too. That's yeah. All right. Well, you got to read the instructions. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah. We all have to read the instructions on this stuff, especially since we don't do it often enough, you know. And we'll step out for a quick break. We've got four lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. This is Computer Talk. Everything we've talked about has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And if you are a member of our Facebook group, right, it's the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. You can join. Just ask. And then you can get the information right there to that group, and you can also ask within the group questions, and there's a lot of great folks that are helping each other out, kind of like the old forums that we used to have, I don't know, 20 years ago. So check it out there as well. We'll be right back. And we are back. And we're looking for you guys. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we're here till 11. And then we're expecting Wes Bryan coming on with us at 10:05. We'll talk a little bit about AI and, you know, ChatGPT and how you might use it and play with it and get your answers from it or not. We'll see what Wes has to talk about. So we're excited to talk to him. We haven't talked to him in a while. Mm-hmm. Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Helen in West Hartford. What's happening, Helen?
Hey, good morning. I'm having issues with my email. It's an old email address. It's at SBC Global, and I understand mm-hmm. Yahoo is in charge of that. But anyway, when I get my emails, I have the first three lines. I can read it, and then I click on it, and it says the message cannot be downloaded from the server.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume the server is the Yahoo.
Yep.
Not my provider. And what do I do? How do I get my emails?
SBC Global Questions is just so amazing that they still are out there. Message can't be downloaded from the server. I know Dennis right now is trying to look that up to see if he can find a reason why that error is occurring.
First thing that leaps to mind is maybe she needs to clear the web cache.
Oh.
Or something like that in her browser, because we might be looking at a browser flaw.
Okay.
And what browser do you use?
Usually the Chrome.
Chrome. Okay. Hold on a second. What you'll do is go into the settings for Chrome, which is the three-dot button up at the top right of the Chrome window. And you go down to settings. And then instead of trying to look for the right category, just type the word cache, C-A-C-H-E, at the top of the window.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll see an item that says clear browsing data. And then you're going to click on advanced.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to clear, pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to, you're probably going to have to blow away the cookies too. Maybe keep your, uncheck the passwords, because you might want to keep that data. But pretty much everything else, you're going to check the box. And then at the bottom, you're going to click clear data.
Okay.
And then restart the browser. Don't try to keep using it the way it is.
All right. So what I When you say restarted, do I download it again, you mean?
No. I just mean close the browser window once you're done with that, then reopen it, go back into your mail, and then see if you can read your mail.
Hey, Helen, do you leave your machine running all the time? Is it up all the time and running, or is it turned off when you're not using it?
No, well, actually, it's off on my phone.
Oh, you use it on a phone. Okay. Well,
that advice just changed.
Yeah. we'll post an article about how to clear the cache on a phone, okay?
Okay.
Same idea there.
But the thing is, I've tried to download the app again, and thinking that would help it, and it hasn't helped.
So what app are you using? You're saying you're using Chrome, but that's you're just using Chrome browser to go and browse over to your email to look on it on a little phone?
No. Chrome is what I use as my browser, but I have an email app that's
Yahoo. Oh, okay.
What email app are you using?
It says Yahoo.
Okay, so she's using the Yahoo Mail app.
There it is.
So, all right, and this is an Android or iPhone?
iPhone.
Okay.
So disregard everything he told you.
Yep. Gone.
Well, I can do that on my computer when I get there.
You can, if you're having the same problem. All right. But the other issue is now the Yahoo app. So you might have to change some settings in it. The reason you might not be able to download the email is because they might have changed their SSLs or some of their ports on the send and receive side of the mail server, possibly. Just throwing it out there, Dennis.
Okay. Yeah.
But what do you think it is in the app itself?
I think what she might have to do is clear the cache in the app.
You do?
Yeah.
All right. He's going for cash again. He's hanging
his
hat.
Why not?
Hanging his hat on the cash. That's cool.
We can post an article about how to do that.
Yeah, we'll put a link up there for you, Helen, as to how to clear the cache on a Yahoo Mail app. And that should hopefully get it to download for you.
Well, this will be advice on how to clear the cache for any app, but she's going to target the Yahoo Mail app.
All right. We're curious to know if it works, Helen.
All right. Thank you for your help.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So Helen's got something to try. We'll see how that goes. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, so feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. I know we're going to have Wes Bryan on. He'll be on at 10:05 right after the news, and then we'll chat about AI. If you have any questions about AI for Wes, feel free to get online, because AI is kind of confusing. We're looking for actual intelligence. Maybe artificial is the way to go. We'll be right back.